back to the Kickoff Show on 95.7 The Game.
One of the many reasons why I love you, Lo Neal.
You know how I do it, baby.
Well, it's not just how natural you are on the mic or being able to flow off the top, but it's also you being able to push my football mind, you challenging me.
I have to, because me and you, we the salt and pepper team. You and I, we get it, man. We understand. And the thing about it is, I challenge you, you challenge me, you don't let me get away with it, and I won't let you get away. And that's why I got this little exercise for you. And I want to ask you, you haven't seen my list. I've got something for you. Here it comes.
And ivory.
Okay, listen, Eddie, bring it. I like that. So don't hate on everybody. Evan. That's Evan on the mic, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Today, if the playoffs started and the Niners were in and they were playing Minnesota, right now, who wins? Right now, if they the what you've seen today, who wins?
Minnesota.
Okay. But the Niners are in
that game would also be in Minnesota, where they haven't won in 30 years.
Okay, but I'm just saying the playoffs.
I'll take the Vikings.
Not saying how good they can be playing. I'm not asking you to
today.
I'm asking you what you've seen today. If they're going to play against Green Bay today, who wins?
I would take the Niners in that game.
Okay. If they're playing the Lions today, who wins?
Detroit.
If they're playing Tampa Bay today, who wins?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think I'd lean Tampa.
So would I. If they were playing right now, Atlanta, who wins?
I actually like the Niners in that game.
Okay. And if they're playing the Commanders today, who wins?
This is the craziest one in the world because I would say Washington, but they are the team that has come out of nowhere. Like, I don't know if anybody called in the state of Washington, D.C., which ain't a big state, in the state of Washington, D.C., I don't know if you could tell me if anybody believed in this football team to be – they look like they're about to be 4-1. They're up like 21 points right now at home against Cleveland. That is the shock of the NFL, and you're right. If they played the Niners today – I think I'd like Washington.
I would, too. If you said the Saints, I would probably take the Niners or Saints.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I look at Minnesota. I look at Green Bay. I think the Lions. I think Tampa. I don't know about Atlanta. I don't know about Atlanta. But Commanders, I only have them out of that list, maybe beating one of those teams today. That's not good.
Yeah, I would say two, but still, that's not a lot.
Right.
Last year at this time, yes.
And that's the thing that I'm trying to get you to realize is say, not that the Niners can't be great, and not what we haven't seen as greatness, because we know the talent and the men that are on this team. But what we've witnessed and what we've seen thus far, I just can't say that. And that's the part, Evan, that's disappointing. I don't like saying it. I'm not trying to, you know, get people fired up. I'm not trying to make people get mad like, oh, Lo Neal's crazy. I'm just asking the callers, the listeners, to tell me why they feel different. But don't give me speculations and hypotheses and just like, oh, this is what I feel or this is just me give me facts why. That's all I want.
What have your eyes told you, and what do the stats show?
Yes.
And right now, I don't even think they're in unison, because some statistics, I'm like, wow, the Niners have been that good there? Well, that's interesting. Another part of their football team, I'll see a stat that says, wow, I didn't realize they've been that bad in that position. But they have. So reality right now is conflicting with what we're seeing on paper for the Niners. And that's why, to kind of what I teased going into this segment, by the way, the Kickoff Show brought to you by Habas Law. Call 1-800-HABAS-LAW. We'll fight to make it right, or go to HabasLaw.com. We're right here outside the Hilton Santa Clara. Evan Giddings, Lorenzo Neal. The two things about this football team that I right now feel like give me the hope to, against those teams you just mentioned, come out with a victory. On offense, it's Brock Purdy. And on defense, it's Fred Warner.
Yep.
Because
yep.
While Kyler Murray has quietly been playing incredible football, Brock Purdy in his own way, I know he's not the runner that Kyler Murray is. He doesn't even have the arm that Kyler Murray has as far as just pure arm talent. But what he does is make plays in a way that Kyler Murray can. Because last week against New England, he was airing it out. Even in the two losses versus Los Angeles and Minnesota, he was making plays happen with his legs. He, even though statistically might not be having as good of a start as he did last year, in my opinion, Lo, is a significantly better quarterback. And that's what you'd hope to see from a guy that's now in his second full season.
Without a doubt, Brock Purdy has matured and has played way more efficient, and he's playing way better in my opinion, this year. Mm-hmm. The decisions that this young man is making, he seems like a veteran quarterback. He's poised. The decisions to get rid of the ball, run out of bounds, throw it away, I think he's playing like a veteran. It's no more, here's a young guy. This guy understands what he has to do. He set the bar high, and he's executing at a very, very high level. He's very, very efficient. I like Brock Purdy, and I think Purdy is not any part of the problem right now. Purdy is the answer. I think when you talk about the offense and you have to talk about Mason, Mason makes his job easier because he's able to run the ball on first, second, and third down.
Mm-hmm.
If you give this guy the ball three times, I think he's getting a first down. That's the odds. That's how that usually doesn't happen with running backs. But Brock Purdy, like you said, he's been sensational. Fred Warner has been sensational on defense. So Purdy, you talk about just the maceration and how he, as a quarterback, from being 1 year to year two to year three as a starter, the guy's he's in form.
And he's missing. Well, Debo's been available for most of the games, but he did miss, of course, the one against the Rams.
But he still had a guy that he threw for during their 200 yards to.
Yeah, well, but that's kind of my point is, so to me, the way that I looked at the offense last year for the Niners, because this year I think they're one of the worst teams in terms of yards after catch. They're not getting guys that are making plays after they get the ball to them, which also means Purdy's not beating teams 5 yards and below. He's not getting the ball into the hands of his playmakers because there are kind of a lack of playmakers with no McCaffrey, maybe a less than 100% Debo, and not having as many pass-catching options out of the backfield. He's not hurting teams at the line of scrimmage and past it or below it. What he's doing is driving the ball down the field. And if nothing's there, I've seen him use his legs more than I ever have before. But it's not in a way that makes me feel hesitant. It's not a way that makes me feel scared that he's going to get hurt because he's smart.
Right.
Even when he gets into traffic, he knows when to go down. He knows how to take a hit. And that's something that you don't see from a lot of young quarterbacks. And so for Brock Purdy to already take a step in that direction, whether it's because he always had it or because now he's being asked to do it, I think he has put a lot of doubters in their place. He did so last year, but everyone who believes that, well, maybe they're waiting for the glass slipper to fall or for the carousel to turn back into the pumpkin, I don't think it's going to happen. Like,
no.
I hate to break it to you.
No.
This dude's here to stay.
He's here to stay. He's the quarterback of the future here, just barring any injuries. This guy, you know, and the crazy thing about it is the Niners are so lucky to have a guy like Purdy. He's not going to say, I want more in Mahomes, even though he could demand it. Because that's what the quarterback market does. They keep, you know, you pay a guy like Dak Prescott the money that you paid him. You know, I got Purdy on the phone. But that's not how he's built. And that's not what he's about. This guy just wants to win. He loves to win. You watch Purdy, you know this guy absolutely loves to win. And it's just interesting just to see how they take care of him, which they should. But the biggest thing is, man, he can play. He's a veteran. He's seasoned. He keeps this offense calm. Guys listen to him. They respect him. They follow him. And that's another alarming thing. When you look how efficient they are running and how Birdie's actually able to keep drives going, look at their time of possession this year. And it's just not correlating to the record. So hopefully this is that get-right game today because you're getting ready to put on new tires after this, but you got an uphill battle.
Well, and then on the defensive side of the ball, unquestionably, I mean, the president, it's been Fred Warner. He's got, you know, multiple fumbles forced. He's got a couple of picks, had the pick six last week against the Patriots. He's got a sack. I always wonder, like I was thinking about this today, because, you know, I think Fred Warner would be today, if we were talking about after week four, the front runner for defensive player of the year.
Sure.
But then I'm also looking at what Aiden Hutchinson is doing in Detroit, and he's got a lot of sacks. I'm looking at what other players, specifically on the edge, have done. T.J. Watt, for example, the sack numbers that they're putting up.
Yeah.
I always wonder why, because this applies to the MVP too. The MVP has now become a quarterback award. But it also feels like, quietly, the Defensive Player of the Year award has become the sacks leader award.
Right.
I do wonder why Fred Warner can't be unquestionably the Defensive Player of the Year right now. And maybe it's because his team is 2-2. Maybe it's because the rest of the defense hasn't looked that stellar. But Fred, without Brock Purdy, this team would be in the dumps. Without Fred Warner, this team would be in the dumps. I said last week with Jason, you know, the only thing that Fred Warner can't do is score. Well, he proved me wrong because he scored a touchdown last week. Like, this guy has literally done everything, and he's also the leader that you want off the field to motivate everybody. And Nick Bosa spoke about that glowingly during the week of practice. So, for me, it's Brock Purdy on offense, but then Fred Warner on defense is the other big reason that I feel like the Niners have better football in front of them, because he has played at this level. He just needs everyone else to rise up with him.
And that's the thing that baffles me, because like you just alluded to, what Fred does, you want guys to rise up. You look at Detroit, Aiden Hutchinson, the way that he plays, you want guys to rise up, and they do. But here's another guy that if you look at the way that he plays and everyone rises up because their team's not playing great offensively either, or not necessarily scoring what they should be, Kansas City Chiefs. Think about number 95.
Chris Jones.
Chris Jones, when he gets on that defense, he can move up and down that line. And what he makes those other demands from those other guys, you can't tell me that this guy is another guy, defensive player of the year, but guys follow. The biggest thing is with the Niners, why aren't they following? You see what I'm you see the point that I'm making, that you just like, and I'm not, and it's not that they're not trying,
of course,
but you watch Chris Jones last week hold the Chargers 10 points, 13 points. Look at Kansas City's defense. Look what they're doing, Cincinnati Bengals. Look who they played against, Atlanta Falcons, a high scoring offense. Look what their defense is able to do. I'm telling you, offense entertains, defense wins championships. Mahomes is not necessarily winning. Everyone's with Mahomes. Yeah, Mahomes is good. Oh, Mahomes, we get it. He's a great quarterback. But their defense is carrying them.
They are.
And that's the part to me that is this, people are missing and people aren't looking at it. They're like, okay, what's going on? Oh, okay, Brandon, that's not the problem. It's not the problem, fans. It's freaking your defense has usually been a stellar, and that's why Coach made a drastic move to get rid of DC, because he understood if we play good defense and we run the ball on offense and we play game good, you know, clock control and ball movement and move the ball down the field and grind and run the ball, we win. It's the other part of this team right now, the special teams like we talked about, defense. Got to get it fixed.
Well, and to hammer your point home, Patrick Mahomes is the nail.
Yes.
The defense is the hammer. And Patrick Mahomes, for example, has thrown an interception in 9 straight games.
Yes!
He's turned the ball over.
Turning it over!
The one stat that baffled me last week, and it has, I think, flown under the radar, the Kansas City Chiefs give up the second most amount of points on opening drives in the NFL. They have a top three scoring defense in the NFL, which means they'll give you something the first drive or two. You can get to them and score early in football games. But to your point, the Chris Joneses, the Trent McDuffies, the Drew Tranquils, they make plays late in games when they need to. And that's where the Niners, for whatever reason, so far this year, and even at points last season, have not been able to do. The playmakers that are paid to make those plays, they haven't had the moments yet. It isn't as if Nick Bosa, for example, hasn't played great football. He's still a damn good player. He's up there in terms of pressures, pressure rate. He's got a few sacks here and there. He's got some tackles for loss. But the moment, I have not had seen Nick Bosa with a premium moment so far in this season. Last week, it was the strip sack against Brissett, but that's the Patriots.
Right.
This week, and again, there needs to be more of those moments that those players make. That's why the Chiefs are 4-0, I think, and that's why the Niners are 2-2.
Oh, yeah. There's a song, church song, God's Got a Blessing with Your Name on It. Where's that? You looking for that name on it performance. You know, I know exactly what you're saying. You want to see Bosa have, I got my name on it, where he's just going out there and he takes over the game. You've seen Fred Warner have his name on it when he goes out there, strips out the fumble, intercepts the ball, just all over the field. His name, his impressions been on the game. You talked about Aiden Hutchinson from Detroit Lions. You've seen his name on it where he just has a game with 3 sacks and he's all over the field and he's just putting his name on it. You've seen Chris Jones with his name on it. That's the part that you have not seen, I know what you're saying, from Nicky Bosa, that we usually have 2 and 3, maybe 4 of those games where you're like, Nicky Bosa, everyone. Nicky Bosa.
Well, and the Cardinals, it's always funny. Like, I don't know how you necessarily judge an offensive line for a quarterback that just breaks off plays at all times. That's what makes Kyler Murray so great, but also sometimes a bit head-scratching. And this year, he's been really good. Like, we just talked about how fantastic Brock Purdy's been all the rest. Brock Purdy right now is sixth in terms of quarterback rating. Number seven right behind him is Kyler Murray. So he's been equally as good, efficiency speaking, this year. And I think a big part of that is the fact that he's got a bona fide number one stud on the outside. And it was also funny that after week one, Marvin Harrison Jr., I think he had one catch for 4 yards, and everyone was like, what is going on with this guy? You know, this he was taking fourth or fifth overall. He's the first receiver off the board, and this guy's supposed to be a generational, surefire Hall of Fame talent. What the hell happened? Second week against the Rams, lights it up, 2 touchdowns in the first half, buck 20 on 3 catches in the first half of the football game. It's like, oh, well, there he is.
Right.
The Niners have to be aware of where this guy is, because even if you double him, it feels like in less than half a season, he's begun to figure out answers that he can use for opposing pass coverages.
Oh, yeah. He picks up the phone, and I got, you know, Marvin Sr. on the phone. You don't think, hey, Dad, I'm watching this. I'm sitting over my tape, okay? They share the same.
He's a spitting image of him, man. It is crazy.
It really is. To watch these guys and their mannerism and everything. So I'm guaranteeing Dad's on the phone saying, dude, I know your coach is telling you this, but look, lean on him this way, do this. I've been there. I know what it's like. Yeah. So he's out there and it's like, hey, and him and Kyler are getting on the same page. They're going through practice. Hey, this is what I'm seeing. When I see this guy bracket and they're playing cover four, that's four across, or they're playing cover eight, four underneath, four on top. Hey, look, I'm going to lean toward, I'm going to lean to the outside and I'm coming back in. Put it there. I'm going to be there. And you're watching these guys be on the same page, like you said, because he has the talent. A lot of guys, they say, hey, I'm going to be there. They don't have the talent to get open. They don't have the ability. They don't have that. He has that football savvy and the knowledge, and that's why this thing is working. And Kyler Murray, like you said, he's having a good year. Unfortunately, the record doesn't show that. And just like Brock Purdy having a hell of a year, the record, you know, 2-2 should be better, but he's having a hell of a year. So it's just going to be interesting to see which team gets off the stock, because both of these two teams, the Niners and Arizona, they both believe they should be better than what they are. They believe their teams are better. Coming into the season, everyone thought Arizona was going to be competing for the NFC West championship.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are the main reason why everyone had elevated this division, because they were a laughing stock last year and have been for a couple of seasons. Really, since we were talking about this during the commercial break, really since Cliff Kingsbury left. And what I know that people might not be the biggest fan of Kingsbury, and they, you know, make jokes about him and whatnot, but what he's doing right now with Jaden Daniels in Washington is amazing. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the last time that Kyler Murray was posting big numbers and this team was winning big games was when Cliff Kingsbury was their head coach. So it appears that, I don't know, maybe it's maturity setting in. Maybe it's just the fact that Kyler Murray has had more experience in the league. But it does feel like now, because this guy, it's crazy how guys feel like they were drafted yesterday. Kyler Murray's in his sixth season. You know, he's 27 years old. He's in his prime. And he's playing 6 touchdowns to 1 interception, almost 70% completion percentage this year, 105 quarterback rating. He's been playing good football. But the one thing you also touched on was the fact that the record is what it is.
Right.
I do think it's funny that the Cardinals have lost 3 games to what we believe to be good football teams. Cliff Kingsbury and the Washington Commanders with Dan Quinn now. They've lost to the Detroit Lions, who we both agree are good. Buffalo Bills, obviously, are a good football team. They took care of business and waxed the Los Angeles Rams. So, in a way, if the Niners win this game, that does indicate to me that they're a good team, because the Cardinals have lost to good teams. The teams they beat are the teams that are not good football teams. And that's another reason why I'm not in panic mode yet. But if the Niners lose this football game, I will be pressing that button. I will be. I'll be hammering that button.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I necessarily press it. I'll stay consistent and say, you got to get better. You have to fix these things or it's going to be a long season. And it's the first half. In this team, we talked about a C. I think they underachieved, so I'm switching from a C to a D+. How about that, Greg? just because of what you just said. So if they lose, I don't press necessarily panic. I say, wow, has Kyle Shanahan lost this team? I think that if they lose this game,
That's not pressing the panic button if the head coach lost the team?
Because it's not – because I don't think – yeah, it probably it, – well, it depends on how you look at it because can he get it back? See, if the talent wasn't there, I'm like, look, if you're a certain team, like you look at a Raiders team that fights hard and whatever, they don't have the quarterback. Mm-hmm. They don't have the running back.
They're about to lose a wide receiver.
You're about to lose one of your best receivers. Do they really have the team to really compete for a Super Bowl? No. They can show you that, hey, they're a good little team. You know, team not played for. Cincinnati, you know, the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. Right now, does Tennessee Titans have the talent to say, God, oh, I'm panicking because
no.
You can't panic because
no.
It's no need to panic. They don't have the team.
Yeah.
They're not there. So when I look at the Niners, that's why I'm saying I don't push the panic button because I know that they have the team. And how are they going to think? There's teams out there that just don't have the team. No matter what you do, they'll play a good game here or there. That's why I'm saying, has Cal got to get back and say attention to details to get back in control of the teams, pushing his coaches and assistant coaches to make these guys play at the level that we used to seeing them play and to execute 49er football that we used to seeing them execute at that type of level. That's where I'm at, and that's where I would be if they lost. When are they going to start executing? Because the talent right now, I'm just telling you, straight up, they're underachieving.
Oh, they are. I mean, this is still a really talented football team. And, again, that's
a loaded roster.
They are, and hopefully they're going to get healthier. I do think that they can still make a deep postseason run. But the reason why I would say panic is because right now they are Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
And those typically aren't teams that can win a championship because you don't know who you're going to get. They could be the 49ers of 2023 where they're running up 35 points a game and just completely blowing teams out of the water. But this year in 2024, they're also the team that could blow a big lead. They're also a team that could get pushed around in Minnesota. And if they lose to a team in Arizona today, that I like, with all due respect to the Cardinals, we know that the Niners are a better football team than them.
Yes.
It doesn't mean the Cardinals can't win the game, but the Niners are 7-point favorites for a reason. I think they have a better defense, or they should have a better defense. They have.
Are they better or more talented?
I think both, but you're right that they're not, like, the gap between the talent and how they've played is not as wide as it should
okay.
be.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get to.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals have been getting gashed on the ground, and that right. is where the Niners' strength lies offensively. So I think they'll be able to take advantage of that. But the panic button to me is more about, again, there has been no consistency with this football team, honestly, dating back to the summer with the decisions that were made as far as who's going to be traded, who's not going to be traded, who's going to be getting contracts, who's not going to be getting paid, who's in preseason, who's in training camp. All these things have lingered in the season, and those are the kinds of issues that I want to see stabilized. And I think this is a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, it really is. You're playing a team that you can get things stabilized. You're playing a team that you can get right. But you're playing a team also that, you know, that can be very, very challenging if you're not on your P's and Q's. So I want to see how the Niners approach this game. How businesslike are they? How do they come out and start and dictate pace, tempo, and authority and show, hey, we're going to dictate. We're not going to wait for you to get hot. We're going to start fast.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see a team come out and start fast, like their hair is on fire, and never take their foot off the pedal. I want to see that. I want to see this place light up, and the fans go crazy, and because there's a lot to cheer about. I want to see this team when you know you go up by double digits, that the defense pin their ears back. I want to see this team hold this Arizona team for under 3.7 a carry, 3.5. What am I looking for? I'm looking for a team to say, we're not letting you get over 3.5 yards a tote. I'm going to keep you under that number. I'm looking for a team that's going to have, that they have, they win, that they only give up 30% or less on third down.
Mm.
30% or less on third down. I want to see a team that every time Arizona's in third down, it's third in more than three or four. It's more than three or four. I want to see if a team can win the statistics that then bend the curve for it to bend in your favor. That's what I want to see today. I don't want it third and two. I don't want it third and one. I don't want it third and three. I want to see it that third and 5 to 7. I want to see it because now I want to see that you, on first down, you lend them to 2 yards, maybe 3 at the most. I want to bend the odds where it turns to the Niners' favor, where championship type of teams are built, and that's how championships are won. That's what I want to see this team play championship ball from the beginning in the stats. That's what I like to see today.
And we're half hour away from seeing that right here at Levi's Stadium. We are outside in the Hilton Santa Clara, outside of Levi's Stadium at the Hilton Santa Clara, site of the kickoff show. Every home game during the 49ers season right here, sponsored by Habas Law. If you have been wronged, Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-HABAS or visit HabasLaw.com. One final segment rolling on to the other side. People are pouring in. One last chance to stop by and say hello on your way inside to Levi's Stadium. Lorenzo Neal, Evan Giddings, this is the kickoff show. On 95.7 The Game, we're back after this.
Now back to the kickoff show on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, it is a party here outside Levi's Stadium at the Hilton Santa Clara for the kickoff show presented by Habas Law. Lorenzo Neal, Evan Giddings with you. One more segment until the 105 kickoff between the Niners and the Cardinals. We'll have our predictions coming for you just a little bit. And you know, but before we get into some things that we have really enjoyed about the season so far, Lo, I did also kind of want to go through the rest of the slate because, look, we're about one quadrant in, right? We're about 25% away. I know we don't have the 16 games anymore, but we got 4 games in. If I asked you right now, the cream of the crop atop, we'll start with the NFC. Right now, who do you think is in the NFC's best 4? Because we've established the Niners, even though they have the ability to be, the talent to be,
right.
are right now not there. Who is in your top 4 as far as the NFC goes?
Well, it's got it easy. It's not even a no-brainer. Minnesota Vikings. What they've shown, the teams that they beat the Niners. You look who the teams they beat. They beat the Jets. You think about who Minnesota has beaten, they've beaten Green Bay. And Green Bay, by the way, was down by 20 in that game, made that a hell of a game, had a chance to win that game, they found a way. When you're playing, when you're 4-0 and you're finding a way to win ball games on the road, at home, and you got to be mentally, we talked about it, attention to details. They're not turning over the ball a lot. They're playing mentally sound football. You look at the Minnesota Vikings, the way that they're playing football, attention to details, and to be in the mindset, the way that the defense, the way that their offense, they are on to something right now. Minnesota Vikings, hands down to me, is playing really good football. All 3 phases, they're playing good football. I think when you look at the Lions, they're playing good football. A little inconsistent on mm-hmm. the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, Aaron Glenn, buddy of mine, played with. He's a, you know, he's a good DC. Looks like they're giving up a little bit too many points. So I look at the Lions, even though they're a good team, I think they're one that, you know, that's still one of the top 4 in the NFC. You look at Tampa Bay. They're a team that fights. They find a way to win. They're right there with the, you know, right there with Atlanta. And so flip a coin there. Mm-hmm. But I also the Commanders. I think the Commanders, what they're doing in the NFC, even though I didn't talk about Seattle, because I think the Commanders are better than Seattle. I look at the Commanders, the way they're playing. I like them. I like them a lot. They're going to score. If you can't score 21, if you can't score 21, you can't beat them. You're not going to hold that offense under 21. They are just that good. So that for that reason, what their offense can do, I like them a lot. So those are a couple teams that I go through that say, hey, look. Those are the best teams in NFC to me right now.
I'm with you. I think I would have Seattle over Tampa at this point, but you're right as far as those 3 other groups. And again, you know, I think Washington is a team that just entering this season, no one expected much of. But right now, screams consistency, and they're an upstart group with a basically playing with a chip on their shoulders. You know, and also Minnesota, it's like they got the best scoring differential in the NFL. It's not as if they just, you know, kind of blown through a couple of these games and squeaked by and eked by. They have been top to bottom the best team, I think, arguably even in the NFL, because you can make a case that the Chiefs are a team that, though they are 4-0 and are going to be playing again to you know basically match them, they're a team that has gotten by the skin of their teeth. So the Chiefs are a team that is, you know, they got the best quarterback and all the rest. But the Minnesota Vikings have been the most impressive team in the NFL to me this season.
Minnesota's beat some good teams.
Well,
they beat the Niners. They beat the Niners. You think about who they played.
They killed the Texans.
They beat the Texans, who was undefeated at the time.
They beat the Packers on the road with Jordan Love coming back.
And they beat the Jets.
So, in London, which is not an easy trip to make.
Yes. So I think when you look at them, to me, they have played a great schedule, one of the toughest schedules, and they're undefeated. That's why I'm not just saying because they're undefeated. I think who they played merits them to be ranked number one.
And they also play in what I think is the best division in football right now. The NFC North, I think, is the only division that doesn't have a below 500 team as it currently stands, because it also looks like the Bears, who are 2-2, are going to move to 3-2. So they play with the Packers, who obviously are legitimate. The Vikings are atop the group. And then you look at the Bears, you know, along with the Detroit Lions, who have reason to believe that they can fight for the one seed, too. So, yeah, I think Minnesota and Detroit, to me, have been the two most impressive teams in the NFC. Third would be Washington. And I think you can kind of split hairs with the fourth group. I would lean Seattle. You lean Tampa. And then in the AFC, obviously the Chiefs. And then it kind of gets interesting. Like, I think Baltimore is losing right now. I still think Baltimore is a damn good club, even though they're 500. Houston is a team that I don't know if it's because they're in Houston. I feel like people might just be sleeping on them. But I think they've been fantastic.
Are they winning today?
They are currently winning today. They're beating the Buffalo Bills right now.
Yeah, I know they're playing Buffalo, so I was wondering if they're going to hold. I know they had a double-digit lead earlier, that, you know, when we started the show. So
yeah.
Don't know where that game is. Want to see what that score is. But I too.
And I like Pittsburgh. I think they're buttoned up and they're physical. Yeah. The Texans are up by three right now, left in the fourth.
Yeah, the Steelers, Texans are up. I think they're – but the Steelers, they just play solid football. And don't be surprised if they go to Russ Wilson if that offense starts to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think they, with the defense that they have, they just don't make mistakes. You got to look at them. I think they're a top five team AFC. Of course, you talked about Kansas City Chiefs. They're right there because they're the Chiefs. But it's a team that finds a way to win ball games. But I do like the Texans. The Texans can light you up. They can score. They got a quarterback. They can run the ball. It's not anything they can't do. Baltimore, to me, as far as running the ball, yes, they can run the ball, but Baltimore's inconsistent. You don't know what Lamar Jackson's going to do. Lamar Jackson, some days he can throw the ball, and some days he's inconsistent throwing the ball around the field. So I don't trust Lamar Jackson. If you're losing by double digits and he has to carry your team to win the game to throw the ball, I have not seen that from Lamar Jackson. For that reason, I can't think that that's why I can't look at the Baltimore Ravens as a top team AFC, top tier AFC team, because I know you are going to have those games that you're down by 14 and you have to throw your way back in. And I just don't think he can do it consistently. He hasn't shown me that in 5 years.
It is ironic that the two teams that the Chiefs last beat to get to the Super Bowl and win it are the 49ers and the Ravens. And both of those two teams have looked less than the sum of their parts so far this season. I don't know if it's a late season, off season hangover. You know, I'm not sure if it's the fact that they might have, you know, felt like they should have beat the Chiefs in two close games in the championship and in the Super Bowl, but came up short, and there's some residue left from that. But for whatever reason, they have, both the Niners and the Ravens, I think, been a little below at least what I expect them so far. And so that's why I'm excited again for this game today against the Cardinals, because I think it's a game that they should win.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't want to say should, but you know, I think they certainly can beat the Cardinals. They're a touchdown favorite for a reason, and I think it also, to me, legitimizes what they did last week against a Patriots team that I expected to cakewalk through, and they did.
Yeah, and interesting, because we talk about the AFC. I don't think there's any great teams in the AFC. Of course, we got. It's hard for me to say that, because what the Kansas City Chiefs have done the last several years has been pretty amazing. But after the Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo's, you know, they're okay. It's you know, Josh has to do a lot. It's not that they're a great team, but after you get past Buffalo, if Buffalo, the Steelers, offensively, they're not going to light you up.
Yeah,
they're going to win it. They're going to win it behind Watt defensively. So I think you have one dominant team. I don't even call them dominant, but one team that's just is Kansas City, because they're the champs. But besides that, if you told me you take Kansas City and you can have the field, I mean, who in the AFC that really is going to say, okay, they really, when the chips are on the table, are they going to challenge? I don't see the AFC. You look at the NFC, there are some teams that can beat you up any given weekend that the NFC, to me, is just tougher.
Yeah, I don't think, and that's a good point. In both conferences, there hasn't been a team, well, perhaps Minnesota, but even something, maybe it's just because it's the Vikings or it's Sam Darnold or it's a lot of players that I think nationally folks are unfamiliar with. Outside of them, there hasn't been a sure cut, dominant team. No. I know the Chiefs are undefeated. They have not looked dominant to me. The Niners certainly have not looked dominant the way they looked last year. You know, I'm just looking up and down the standings from last season. Baltimore was a team that looked dominant in the regular season last year.
Right.
The Niners obviously looked dominant, at least for the first half of the season last year. Philadelphia looked dominant.
Right.
So far, there is no team in the NFC outside of the Vikings that has looked dominant, and that'd be another reason for optimism for the Niners.
Yeah, it is, but and that's why I'm telling you. That's why I look at teams that you talked about, the Chiefs. They look dominant on defense to me.
Yeah.
When you think about their defense, show me who scored over 24 against them. They have, if you think about what they've defense been able to do, keep the Chargers to under 10 or think 10 points. You think about Minnesota. Think about the teams that they've been able to play besides Green Bay, got in a little shootout. But you look at what their defenses have been doing. I think that their defenses have been dominant, and that's why these two teams are 4-0, in my opinion, is because their defense, not their offenses.
Yeah, and it's funny because also a lot of times I think at the beginning of the year, we feel like the defenses are in front of the offenses. But that hasn't been the case for the Niners. It feels like the offense has been in front of the defense. And so, I don't know, maybe it's been a month now and it's been four games and that rust is starting to wear off. But they certainly have the talent on defense to be a top five group, certainly a top 10 group. And right now, they just have not played like it, at least over the course of 4 weeks consistently enough for me to label them that.
Do they make a move? Are the Niners going to make a move as far as with their win, in the win loss column? Do you see them making a move? Do you see them making a move before the trade? And if so, where are you going? Where are you leaning?
So that is a great question because I do think they make a move, but I wonder about which side of the ball, because I don't think their defense needs that much help. But last year, I also didn't think that their defense needed that much help. They went on and got two defensive linemen, Randy Gregory, along with Chase Young, who proved to be, nice additions. The year before, it was McCaffrey. It was the offense that needed some help. This year, I do think that it's going to be a defensive player, but I'm not really sure where, because I think it does depend to me, Lo, on how good Dre Greenlaw is when he comes back. Because they have been eviscerated at that secondary linebacking spot. Devondre Campbell is a professional. He had a nice year last year in Green Bay. He has not played very well this year. Also at the edge, Leonard Floyd, he gave 2 years, $20 million to. He has been a serviceable player for the better part of a decade. He has not been the same player so far this season. So I think from now until the deadline, those would be the two positions that on defense that I would try to identify and address. But I also have to give the benefit of the doubt to those two guys to let them prove to me that they don't deserve to be players that you're trying to add to their positions for.
Yeah, I think that you look at, losing Hargrave, the great digger, he's out for a year. I think you got to get better. I make a trade. I try to
look in the trenches.
In the trenches. To me, you win championships are won and lost in the trenches. I get it. Someone in there that can keep Fred Warner. You're talking about an MVP. You're talking about a guy you said playing MVP type of ball, defensive player of the year, in Freddie Warner. How do you ensure that he keeps doing that? You get someone at that nose, then the three technique. You get someone, some more guys that keep him clean. The reason why Ray Lewis was so dominant and why he played to it, he had Hanadi Noti. And he had Jeff and then Vic Siragusa.
Siragusa and Nada?
But they kept him clean.
Yeah.
You got those guys that would hold the center and hold the guard, so now Ray Lewis could get downhill. They would grub. So when you have two big guys or a guy that can hold the center and the center and guard, it lets the linebacker play on that side of the ball, and he doesn't have to run a hump. When you have a nose guard that plays that three technique, and that center and that guard pushes him back 3 to 5 yards, now – the linebacker can't read, and now he's got to stay behind that, and he's got to run the hump, and now the running back, he's playing downhill. When you have a guy that can stop at the point and hold those guys, now that linebacker can shoot gaps and be more efficient. So I'm keeping Freddie clean. So I'm investing in that defensive line to make sure I keep Fred Warner clean. I think about giving him maybe some draft capital. Also, I look at my quarterbacks. I say, hey, I got Dobbs here. I got some guys here. If Dobbs is your three, why the hell are you going to keep him? I mean, why would you not go get something for him? Because he can play, and he's a serviceable quarterback. Teams will put this guy in a minute. So if I'm hurting right now and I think that my window's closing, because I got to pay more guys next year, we got to figure out a way to try to get back on the right side of the track and try to make sure that you got some, not just a guy, but you have some more depth. You have some more stability. So I'm building in the trenches because I know that's what it's going to take to win a championship is building the trenches.
But also what you said about Fred Warner and using linebackers using their defensive tackles, I think that makes what Fred's doing all the more impressive because if you look at other top-flight linebackers, so last year it was Fred Warner and Roquan Smith. Like those are the two best middle linebackers in the game. Roquan Smith has Madubuike, who's a pretty decent defensive tackle. You go down to C.J. Mosley in New York. He's got Quinnen Williams, who's a damn good defensive tackle.
Yep.
Fred Warner, I know that Hargrave is good, but now he's out.
Right.
Fred Warner has not really had that stud in the middle the way that even a Patrick Willis had a Justin Smith or Navarro Bowman. Fred Warner does not have that, and so he's making a lot of things, a lot of these plays happen himself, and just another reason why, just kind of piggybacking off of what you said, that he has been unbelievable this season.
No question, and you watch Fred, though, sometimes Fred's plays are downfield. After the first down, he's punching out balls. When you watch when Fred is really humming, Fred sometimes shooting gaps, and he's making tackles in the backfield because it's clean, and those guys are holding him off, and now he can shoot that gap. They can't come off and knock him off. So when he's playing really great ball, he's playing usually on the other side of the ball. So I agree with you, but if you have a great nose and a great three technique that can keep guys off him, you're going to see Fred continue to flourish because he's just that type of a backer. So, yeah, there are some things that this team can do to get better. But today, you know what? It's not about necessarily it's not about bringing in guys because mm-hmm. today is the roster. Here's a game that you're going to depend on, you know, Trent and Banks and, you know, Jake and all those guys that you have that you got to play, you know, Clinton and, you know, Kittle, all Debo, you know, Mason. This is your offense. You can't change that. Your defense, you got Bosa, you got Floyd. You got to make sure these guys do what they need to do. Elliott. So you can't change that now. So today is about how do we get better? How do we get better with the men that we have on this team? How do we get better just looking at our roster and saying, okay, you know, let's go. Let's go Hufanga. Let's go AJ. Let's go Brown. Let's go. If these guys are going to be the guys that's out there, Travarius, the Ward, who is going to step up and play good football to keep this team from going from saying, hey, we're going to be 2-3, or we're going to be 3-2 and start to build, start to put the hand to born, because we have to get better. So that's what this is about today. It's not necessarily about thinking about the future. It's about saying, how do the team that we have today go out here and dominate and start playing the ball that we know we're capable of?
Well, with that, as we wrap this up on here on the Kickoff Show, live from the Hilton Santa Clara, as we are every single 49ers home game during the 2024 season outside of Levi's Stadium, let's get to our predictions because I think that this is an interesting game to me, and it's one where you don't want to be back underwater. Like right now, the Niners this season, for the first time in Brock Purdy's career as a starter, were below 500. They were below water. They got back, and now they're treading this week at 500 after beating the Patriots. All right, let's see if we can try and get out of the pool this week and get above 500 against the Cardinals team that is a beatable group. And I think it starts with the run game. I think it starts with Jordan Mason. I think everything runs through him, quite literally. And even though he is the backup entering the season, he has been an absolute star for them. And he has been, I think, large in part, along with Purdy, why this team might not even be below of where they are right now. So Jordan Mason, I think this is a game for him. It might be even a 150-yard game the way that the Arizona Cardinals give up gashes on the ground. I think it's also a reason why the Niners win this game. I'm not sure it's as dominant as people want it to look, but I think the Niners win today. They move to 3-2, and the score is 49ers 27, Cardinals 20. So I would take a push, actually.
Yeah, I think this game is something like 30, I'd say over 30 if you told me to go over under. I think they score over 30, and maybe the Cardinals get 17 to 20, 21, 17, you know, 30-something to 17, 30-something to 21. At
Purdy for 30?
Yeah, 30 for Purdy. This Arizona team doesn't get over 21. They don't score over 21, and the Niners go over 30. It's just this team is due. They're due to put it together. They're due to show, you know, give the people what they want and just play the type of football that they know they're capable of. And they're tired of hearing all that. They're tired of hearing the inconsistency. You talked about it. I'm talking about it. Everyone around the league is talking about, why is this team so inconsistent? Mm-hmm. Where is the consistency that we're used to seeing? And I'm going to tell you right now, I know they talk about Christian McCaffrey coming back in a week or 2 weeks. We'll see. This team starts to play like we know they're capable of. I don't think you see Christian McCaffrey the whole year. Why? You know Shanahan loves this guy, mm-hmm, as a player and as a person. He's got two, not just one, but you're saying two Achilles tendonitis or whatever it may be. He travels across to another country to go try to get this thing fixed. If you are playing well enough, why would you jeopardize? I don't see Shanahan. I don't see this organization. I think that if they're playing the way they need to, I don't even think they play him this year.
Wow. Well, with that.
That'll hot take, baby.
That's
I leave on a hot take.
No, we've been bringing them out, and that's what we do every single Sunday right before the Niners play whoever they play. Today they play the Arizona Cardinals at 105 right here at Levi's Stadium. A big thank you to everyone listening, everyone that has chimed in. Big thank you to Cam Williams back in our studio. A reminder, after the game, to tune into Overtime. Mark Grandy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett. After the final whistle, the 49ers and the Cardinals win or loss, they will break it down 16 different ways. So tap in after the final whistle right here on 95.7. A game on Overtime. Also, big thank you to Joe Hawks here producing for us today at the Hilton Santa Clara. Big thank you to my man Lorenzo Neal. And again, a big thank you to everyone listening to the Kickoff Show presented by Habas Law. If you've been wronged, Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-HABIS or visit HabasLaw.com. For Evan Gittings saying so long, we'll talk to you next time on the Kickoff Show.
Peace.